So I do want to be sensitive to the room. I know that this day can be bittersweet for some and even just full of sadness for others. And so I just want you to know that the Lord has a word for each of you today, no matter where you stand in that spectrum, because I know for me, I'm at that stage of life. You know, I do have my own children. I've been blessed with my own children, but God has also been blessing me here in the last year or so with spiritual sons and daughters, and that's a new thing for me. And so it's funny because that means I'm old, right? And we got together with friends on Friday, and one of us was having a muscle cramp. The others were putting on our glasses, and we laughed so hard we almost peed our pants. And so I'm like, well, at least I get to have spiritual sons and daughters during this season of growing older. And so there is something for all of us in this message that I believe the Lord has for us today. This series is all about Hero Maker, and let me get logged in here. And today, we get to talk about Nehemiah 1:1-4, but before we get there, we're starting off the series today with mothers, you know, mother's prayers to father's lasting legacy. This series will take us through all of that, and it's going to teach us, we're going to see how, through Nehemiah, how God develops leaders who rise up with courage, who stand with integrity, and are full of faith. And we're talking about the next generation and what God is wanting to do. And he's taking this series to show us, to teach us, to prepare us so we could be raising up this next generation to be mighty warriors for the kingdom of God. And I'm excited about what he's going to show us. And today is Mother's Day, but heroes aren't just made by mothers, right? It's the fathers, it's the grandparents, it's the church family that comes alongside them and invests in them. But today we're going to talk about the hidden strength of prayer. And mothers often, I just believe that the Lord hears the prayers of a mother. I mean, it could be biased, but I just think that he really hears our prayers. Behind every hero is a Wonder Woman who won battles in the spirit before they were ever fought in the flesh. And I can tell you, my mom, she's actually coming today to the second service, but my testimony is I was saved at 17. I didn't walk with the Lord, though. That was just my get-out-of-hell-free card. I went my own way. Karen was on the throne, not Jesus, and I was a heathen, really I was. I was partying, I was just doing all kinds of things that I wanted to do and not really even looking to the Lord. And my mom became a believer later in life. It was in her 30s after my parents divorced. She believed in God, but she didn't have that personal relationship with the Lord. And so, but she came to have that personal relationship, and immediately she started praying for her children. And so even though she saw me get saved, she was watching me just live my life how I wanted to, and not no care or concern for the Lord. And I know that she was praying, but it wasn't until later on when I was leading a women's group, and she happened to be in that group with me. And we were sharing about a time, we're going around the room, share a time about when the Lord answered your prayer. And she shared, she was the last one to share, and what she shared, I'll try not to get emotional, but this is why I believe a mother's prayer are so powerful, because she prayed that her children would not just know the Lord, but that they would serve the Lord. And here I was years later, you know, how many years she spent praying and not seeing the fruit of those prayers. But then here she was probably 12 years later watching her daughter lead a group of women and talking about Jesus. And so if you're in that season where you've been praying and you haven't seen the fruit, just be encouraged today to keep praying, because what we don't see in the natural, we will see eventually. We're going to start with Nehemiah 1:1-4. A burden is where hero stories begin. My mom had that burden. I'm not calling myself a hero, but we're raising up some heroes, right? Nehemiah 1:1-4 says, "The words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, While I was in Citadel of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that had survived the exile, and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, "Those who survived the exile are back in the province and are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire." When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. See, Nehemiah had this burden. He was already thinking about how he was concerned about Jerusalem. Nehemiah was a prophet, so naturally the prophet of God is going to be concerned about the things of God. And he knew that this Jewish remnant was going to be brought back to Israel, but what were they coming back to? Here they had been displaced. There was nowhere for them to go. They were away from friends and family. But their home that they were coming back to was not going to be safe if the gates are burned and the walls are broken down. So Nehemiah has this burden, and he prays to the Lord. But you see, the Holy Spirit is the one who groans within us. Romans 8:26 says, "The Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans." And you know, Nehemiah's weeping wasn't just emotional. It was a spiritual prompting from the Holy Spirit. And so those spiritual promptings, though, it's not just so we can know how to pray. It's to put us into action. What are we going to do now that we've had this burden that the Holy Spirit has put on us? You know, mothers, you have this prompting too. Sometimes we call it mother's intuition. Anybody ever get that feeling in their gut where they're like, "This ain't good. This is not good. I don't know what to do about it, but I don't even know what it is, but I know it's not good." And so when I was very young, just an example of this, I was very young, a young teenager, and my mom almost never told me no. You know, I wanted to go spend the night with a friend, and she's like, I don't think so, Karen. I just don't really like that. I don't have a good feeling about it," is what she actually said. And I was like, "Mom, you know how kids do." Begged and pushed and prodded. And she eventually gave in. Well, you know what happened at the other end of that was I ended up getting in trouble with the law. I had to spend my whole summer grounded. I had to pay fines. There was a whole lot. I told you I was a heathen. I really was before I got saved and then until I gave my life, surrendered it to the Lord. But she had that feeling, that prompting. So pay attention to those. Hey, that taught me to pay attention to him. So your burden isn't a sign of weakness. It's the Holy Spirit's invitation to intercede. And that feeling you have often is just the Holy Spirit highlighting a battlefield. But prayer is really our superpower. And because we're empowered by the Holy Spirit. Diana's strength comes from her divine origin. I just watched Wonder Woman the other day just because I was like, you know, I better freshen up. I don't really remember all the things about Wonder Woman. And so I watched it, and it was really encouraging because she did get her strength from a divine origin, but it wasn't what we would call, what we would recognize as that, right? But it is true that it's the Holy Spirit that is our superpower. That indwelling of the Spirit. It's not our stamina, because moms, Ray, will you give me that drink, that water? As moms, we get up at dawn, and we go, and we sometimes don't even sit down until 8 o'clock at night. And and so we have a lot of stamina, but that's not our superpower. Our superpower is knowing how to pray from the indwelling of the Spirit. And we don't pray at God, right? We pray with the Spirit. He gives us words when we are exhausted. And that's where the power comes from. It's not like we're making all these requests to the Lord, but when we switch our posture from all these requests that we're making and how we want things to go and what we want to have happen to a position of, God, this is my concern. What do you say about it? What do you want me to do with this situation? Can you give me the words? Can you show me what steps to take? I'm surrendering my will to your will, Lord. And that gives us, that puts us in a position to not have to be super mom, to get all the cool clothes and to make sure the kids are getting to all their sports and doing all the things that are going to set them up for success in this life as we see it. It gives us the power to be a spirit-filled mom. And real power is exercised in the secret place where we're in the natural, nobody sees the evidence of the prayers we're praying, but the power is on full display in the spiritual realm. We don't see it happening. Sometimes it takes decades for that to come to pass, but there is movement. We just can't see it. But, you know, we can't do this thing alone either, right? As moms, we don't raise heroes by ourselves. It takes a village. Isn't that what they say? It takes a village. And the Holy Spirit gives us the spirit of unity to do that together. It takes the grandparents, the moms, the dads, the church family to come alongside and help raise these heroes up. You know, I am so grateful for the influences that my kids have had. And the care and concern. They have spiritual moms and spiritual dads that they've had that have impacted their life. There's some things that they just won't talk to us about, but they have somebody they can go to and who's going to look out for them and encourage them and to just check in on them and say, hey, how are you doing? And I've seen evidence of kids that were raised in this church even that have come back as adults. We just saw one the other day, you know, when I think about Aaron and how people that were in this church impacted them for God's kingdom and how they are now going and serving the Lord and in the communities that God has placed them in. It's a beautiful thing to see. We have a part to play. James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. My mom was a righteous person, and her prayer was powerful and effective. You are righteous people. Your prayers are powerful and effective. And the Holy Spirit is the glue of the church. When we pray together, the Spirit multiplies the impact. I don't know if you've ever experienced this, where you come together, where two or more are gathered together in my name, I will be there also. I have been in situations where I've just been praying on my own, but then when I come together with people and pray specifically for a thing to happen, sometimes it happens so quick, the answer to that prayer, and I'm thinking, wow, God, you're moving mountains. God, the impact is multiplied when we pray together. And what this does is it creates that spiritual hedge of protection around these kids. I don't know about you, but have you watched some of these young people that are evangelizing in the streets? And I just believe the power of the Holy Spirit is heavy on this generation. They are being raised up with boldness, and they're declaring the word of God without fear. And I'm just, it's amazing to me what is happening in this world. Even though we see all these bad things happening, we see the hand of God moving and being raised up. And I've had the privilege of serving with the little kids all the way from nursery up to Innovation Kids, where they were like fifth grade. And I watched them pray for one another. I watched them invite their friends. I mean, we even have people in this church today because their kids invited their friends, and then the families are coming now. God is using even our youth and our young people to bring people to Christ. And so you know his spirit is on them, and we need to be preparing them, covering them in prayer. And what's prayed for in private shows up in public. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. Now, confession time. I memorized this verse years ago, but for years, I memorized it incorrectly. I would quote this scripture, but I would leave out the with thanksgiving. And I wondered why I was still filled with anxiety and I wasn't seeing the peace of God in my life, even though I would quote this scripture. And then the Lord brought it to my attention because it came up in one of my Bible studies or my devotions or something. And it was like he highlighted those words on the page for me with thanksgiving. That is the key that unlocks the peace of God when we submit our prayers and petitions to him. So don't do like I did. Make sure you highlight, circle that with thanksgiving. And what does that look like? That means, God, my kid's in jail. I'm concerned about this. I'm worried about his future. But God, I thank you that I know that you have plans, like the song we sang, that's Jeremiah 29:11. I know you have plans for them, plans to prosper them, to give them a hope and a future. So we're thanking God for his promises every time we're submitting our petitions to him. God, my kid's failing in school. I don't know what kind of job are they going to get? They just want to drop out. And I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Thank you, God, that you have plans for them. Raise them up in the way that they should go, and they will not depart from it when they are old. So even in the natural, when it looks like they're running away like I did, they will come back, and they will serve the Lord. We have to stand on those promises, and when we're thanking God, we're thanking him for the promises that he has. Because we sang, his promises never fail. I always love, because I don't know what songs we're singing when I get up here to give a message, and then I'm hearing these, and I'm like, that's a good set, Lord. You're setting everything up. I love how you just move everything together. So the peace of God mentioned here is actually a fruit of the Holy Spirit that we learn about in Galatians 5:22. And as you pray, the Spirit transforms the atmosphere of your home from anxiety to peace. I noticed a shift in my home and in my relationships when I remembered when God highlighted that with thanksgiving. I started to experience that peace of God that surpasses all understanding. And then we've had lots of opportunities over the last several years to really put that into practice through race surgery, my breast cancer diagnosis that I had, and treatment, and going through all of those things. I had lots of reasons to have anxiety, but I still had the peace of God because I knew he would work all things out. Even if it wasn't how I wanted it to go, he had a plan, he had a purpose. And his ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. And I just have to trust him. And lo and behold, race after 6 surgeries, I think he's bionic Ray. And I don't have breast cancer, but I've had opportunities now to talk to other women who have experienced it. It's just amazing how God will use what you've gone through for your good and his glory. So this praying and the shift in the atmosphere in your home, your kids are watching. I mean, how many times, I'm not saying we cussed or anything, but how many times have you seen a kid do something because they saw you do it, right? Maybe it's just, I don't know, I saw a video the other day where this little boy comes in and he has this pillow stuffed under his shirt, and he's walking through there like this, you know, with his big pillow stuffed in there, and their parents are like, what are you doing? Are you pretending that you have a baby in there? He goes, no, I'm dad. You know, dad must have put on a little weight. But so our kids are watching, and they know, they will see the shift in the atmosphere. So when your atmosphere in your home goes from one of anxiety, when they stop seeing you, you know, being anxious, like, oh, we gotta go, we're rushing, to, we'll get there, it's okay. Come on, did you get your shoes on yet? Let's go. They're gonna notice. And what you're doing in that season is you are shaping their spiritual environment. You're teaching them what it looks like. You're showing them, they're having that actual experience of how to recognize the peace of God. You aren't just raising a child. You are hosting the presence of God in their lives. So the Holy Spirit is called the Helper. So today, we're going to actually put this into practice. We're going to stop trying to be Wonder Woman through our parenting by doing it alone. And we're going to ask the helper to take over. So I'm going to have the worship team come back up. In just a minute, but I want to offer a family challenge for you. Three things. Believe the Holy Spirit wants to put a burden in our hearts. As I was praying and preparing for this message, asking the Holy Spirit, what do you want me to say? I mean, in all honesty, I was like, I don't know, God, you know, I know you probably have something for me to say, but I didn't have a burden. I didn't have a burden. And so I prayed, Lord, give me the burden. And lo and behold, I was overcome with emotion. And when I thought about the many people who do not know the Lord, who are not walking in the freedom, maybe they do know God, but they don't know him intimately, and they're not walking in freedom. And I was weeping to the point where I couldn't even get ready for work that day because I was overcome. I believe the Lord wants us to identify the burden that he wants to put on our heart, because we all have something to do for the Lord. He has a plan and a purpose for it for us, and it's to serve him. But it's also to raise this next generation up. What role do we have to play in that? So identify the burden that the Lord has for you. Ask the Spirit what to pray. And then write three requests for your family, for your future, and for the burden. But with thanksgiving, submit those to the Lord. And then pray out loud. Let the Spirit lead your words. When we pray out loud, heaven moves. When we pray out loud, heaven moves. So I encourage you to do that this week. Not just leave here hearing another message saying, oh, that was a good one, but really apply what the Lord is saying to you today. And why does this even matter? Because the Spirit is eternal. Your physical work as a parent or a grandparent or a spiritual parent or an aunt or a big sister, we all have different roles that we play in the lives of others. We have the physical work is for a season, but the Spirit-led prayers that you plant have eternal impact. They're eternal seeds. And what you pray over today in the Spirit, they will walk in tomorrow by his power. Just like I stand before you, my life could have gone a whole different way. I could have been in addiction. I could have been in so many situations. But by the power of prayer, I'm not. I stand here today serving the Lord and telling you about it. So we're going to just implement this right now, right? We're going to stand in the gap. I believe that moms need prayer. I believe that women who are leaning in and helping to raise up the heroes of the next generation need prayer. And so we're going to do that as a community this morning. We're going to implement this right now where God's using us to cover these women in prayer. And so if you feel comfortable, and I would say even if you don't, just do it anyway, because God doesn't call us to a life of comfort. He calls us to a life of obedience. And I will testify that I have rarely been comfortable doing the things God has called me to do. So I'm going to ask the women who are mothers, our mother figures, to stand. If you feel led to come forward for prayer, we're going to have our prayer team up here. But I would ask those around you, the men, the children, to reach out your hand to pray over them, or even to come alongside to pray over them. I'll lead in prayer, but as you feel led, pray for them. As you feel led, ask them what need they have, what burden they're carrying, so that you can carry it with them. And I believe the Holy Spirit is going to meet us here in this place, and that moms are going to leave here refreshed and renewed, because he is a God who loves us. And he wants you to know that you're not alone, that you don't carry the burden alone. He is with you. He is for you. He has plans for you and your children and those he's placed under you. So if you'd just stand. Go ahead and stand. And if those around you would stand and just reach out your hand to lay hands on those that are standing. Father, I thank you for each one in this room that represent what it is to be a mom. And God, I know some of us feel like we fall short. We don't have it all together. We're searching for answers and we don't have them, God. We're waiting to see your hand move in the lives of those we love and care about. We're waiting to see them find the freedom that we have found. So God, I pray for strength. Holy Spirit, refresh the weary. Your word says, those that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength and mount with wings like eagles and soar, God. What a promise that is. So Holy Spirit, wash over them. Replace exhaustion with your supernatural strength. God, we pray for discernment. You are the Spirit of truth. Give these mothers clarity when they don't know what to do. Whisper the way forward when they don't know what to say. Put your words in their mouth. And for this next generation, God, we know you are raising up mighty warriors for your kingdom. Help us know how to lead them in that, God. Get us grounded in your truth and in your Spirit so much that we know exactly what we should do and say for them. Put a burden on our hearts, God, that we would sacrifice whatever you call us to sacrifice, to make a way, to make a path forward for them. We cover the children and grandchildren today, Lord. We declare that they will walk in the powers, in the prayers being prayed over them right now, God, for freedom, for deliverance, for your purpose in their life, God, and for their calling that you're putting on them, God, that they would have nothing standing in their way, that no weapon formed against them would prosper. We thank you, God, what you're doing for each one of them. We thank you how you're building us up for a church that's going to send those out, God. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for your hand in our lives, that you are our helper, you are our comforter. We give you all the praise and the glory, man. Lord, may they walk out of here feeling renewed and refreshed with hope, God, that their prayers are powerful and effective, and that you are moving even when we can't see it, God. We can trust you. We can wait on you because you always come through. Your promises never fail. We praise you, God. We love you. Have your way. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.